I saw an amazing thing this week. My father gave my mother a kidney. And to see that go from one, I mean, I didn't actually see it, but I couldn't watch, but to, you know what I'm saying, to see it go from my dad to my mom, and the amazing technology and the things that God uses to create miraculous things. And then I was reading in my devotions, and it says, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of the house has greater honor than the house itself. So many people worship themselves, our humanity, and how great we are. But the thing is the creator of the house is more worthy of honor than the house itself. And mom and dad are doing fine. We brought dad home yesterday, and mom's coming home today. And we just thank God. I was never worried. I don't know why. I just knew everything was going to be okay. And if everything wasn't, I knew it was still okay. So we just thank God for that. Today is mom's birthday.
Thanks. He said in Sunday school that she doesn't even need her blood pressure medicine anymore. How long has she been taking it?
A few years.
Okay. Okay. But here's a sample of a man giving himself for his wife. And that's really what the scripture talks about. But Christ laid down his life for us. He gave his life that we could have life. What an awesome, awesome thought. Here we have a little picture of that in the flesh. How a man gave up a little piece of his life that his wife could have life. He gave himself for his wife. What a beautiful, beautiful picture of the truth of Scripture. Hallelujah. God is so good. Could we stand?
If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, dwell in you. If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, dwell in you. Oh, it shall quicken your mortal body. If that Spirit dwell in you, it shall quicken your mortal body. If that Spirit dwell in you, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, dwell in you. If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, dwell in you. It shall quicken your mortal body. If that Spirit quicken your mortal body, if that Spirit dwell in you.
One more time.
If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, dwell in you. If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it shall quicken your mortal body. Spirit dwell in you, it shall quicken your mortal body. If that Spirit dwell in you.
Hallelujah. Turn to page 286.
Is there a mountain in your way to die? Not by mine, by my spirit, saith the Lord. Is there a fiery furnace tried far more than you can bear? Behold, the blessed Son of God is walking with you there.
Not by my spirit,
saith the Lord of hosts.
Not by power,
but by my spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed.
Is there a mountain in your way? Is there a river in your path? Is there a fiery furnace trial? Does anybody have any of that today? Do you have a mountain or a river or a fiery furnace in your way today? If you do, let's do the last verse. One more time. Hallelujah. Then trust alone the mighty God. He speaks, the winds obey. Take courage, then, O fainting heart, for you he'll make a way.
Not by mind,
not by power,
but by my spirit,
saith the Lord of hosts.
Not by power, by my spirit,
saith the Lord of hosts. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. By my spirit, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. 265.
Sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor up, stand firm, everyone, rest your cause upon his holy word. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along.
On we go,
while our cause we know must prevail. Shield and banner bright, gleaming in the light, battling for the right we never fail. Rouse then, soldier, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna! Christ is captain of the mighty. By thy grace, when the battle's done and the victory won. down before thy face. Roused and soldiers rally round the banner. Ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Roused and soldiers rally round the banner. Ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throng.
Hallelujah. You may be seated.
Battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. And we sing glory and honor. Darkness comes in like a flood. The battle belongs to the Lord. He'll raise up a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. And we sing glory. Fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption draws near. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. And we sing glory. Fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption draws near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. And we sing glory. Power and strength to the Lord.
We sing glory
and honor. Power and strength to the Lord.
We sing
glory and honor. Power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory and honor. Power and strength to the Lord. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb praise. Honor and power
and strength
be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen.
The
John in purpose and unity, declaring aloud praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength.
Hallelujah.
You're my joy, my righteousness, and
I love you, Lord.
To know
the power of your risen life, and to know you in your sufferings, to become like you in your death, my Lord, so with you to live and never die, knowing you, Jesus, knowing you. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Jesus, God's righteousness revealed, the Son of Man. Jesus, redemption sacrifice, now glorified, now justified, His kingdom comes, and this kingdom will know no end, and this glory shall know no bound, for the majesty and power of this kingdom's King has come, and this kingdom's reign, and this kingdom's rule, and this kingdom's power and authority. Jesus, God's righteousness revealed. Jesus, the expression of God's love.
The grace of
God, the word of God revealed to us. Jesus, God's righteousness revealed, and this kingdom will know no end, and its glory shall know no bound, for the majesty and power of this kingdom's King. Power and authority. God's righteousness revealed. Jesus, God's righteousness revealed.
One more time. Hallelujah.
Jesus, God's righteousness.
Brought to my attention, I used to have everybody stand for the reading of the word, and I got away from that. So we will, I guess, we'll remain standing for the reading of the word. Judges chapter 16, beginning with verse 23. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, Call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and they were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would remember us today. And Lord, as there are those here with definite needs in their life, we pray, Lord, that you would remember them today. And Lord, you would act on their behalf, and that they would be encouraged and strengthened today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I think I have Bill Schillenberg's permission to preach as long as I want, after Sunday school and all night if I desire. We won't keep you here quite that long, though. But Judges chapter 16, in this story of Samson and his great strength and how he was avenged of his enemies. I believe the key to this message today is found in verse 28. And I would really choose that as the key verse today. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. Those two words in particular, I would like you to notice, because I want to stress those two words today. Remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. There are a number of people who actually prayed those two words, remember me. Samson was the first one to utter those words, but also Hannah, Nehemiah, they prayed those words, or Nehemiah prayed those words the most often, three times. Then there was Job and David, Jeremiah, and the thief on the cross. Today we want to look at the people who prayed those words. What were they asking the Lord to do for them upon remembrance of them? And since the first shall be last, we are going to look at Samson last. And we are going to spend the majority of our time looking at him because of the law of first mention. But the first person that we will discuss today is Hannah. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. If you remember the situation in which this story takes place, you will recall that Hannah was in the temple praying. She was frustrated because she was barren. She was not able to have any children. And in that temple, she cried out to the Lord. The priest who saw her actually thought that she was drunk. Such anguish of spirit came upon her. But her cry was, Remember me. This is no ordinary cry. She cried out with all the zeal and all the desire of her heart. Lord, remember me. It was a passionate prayer. It was a fervent prayer. And it moved the heart of God. Because before long, the prophet Samuel was born to this extraordinary woman and mother. The next example of somebody praying those two words, remember me, is Nehemiah. Nehemiah, if you remember, is the one who rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. But all the time he was rebuilding those walls, he was opposed by his enemies. And isn't that the way it always is when we try to do something for the Lord? There's always somebody that is going to oppose us. There are always enemies of the Lord trying to stop us and to block our path. And so can you imagine this, those of you who have done any building, those of you who are carpenters, They had to build the walls with a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other. To me, that would seem like a very difficult thing to do. I mean, I can't build and get things square with two hands. They had to do it with one and watch one eye in what they were doing, and the other had to see if their enemies would come and attack. But Nehemiah asked God to remember him and to come against his enemies so that he could accomplish this lofty goal for the Lord's people. The scripture verses where he prayed are, first of all, Nehemiah 13, 14. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. And then he prayed it later on in verse 22 of that same chapter. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. And the final time he prayed that, still Nehemiah 13, this time verse 31, remember me, O my God, for good. Remember me, O my God, for good. That's a prayer that we can pray sometimes. Lord, remember me, just for my good, just for good. For goodness sake, Lord, remember me. And then Job prayed this prayer. Of course, Job was the one who experienced tremendous trials. He was experiencing great and sore trials. He wanted God to remember him in the midst of those trials. And so he said in John chapter 14 and verse 13, oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If you're going through a trial today, you can remember those two words that Job prayed in his trial. Remember me, remember me, remember me. And then David, in Psalm 106, verse 4, prayed, remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. David wanted favor from the Lord, and he wanted deliverance, and so he prayed, Lord, remember me. And then Jeremiah, O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Jeremiah prayed this prayer when he wanted deliverance from his persecutors. And so if there's somebody that's persecuting you today, you could make this your prayer. Lord, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. And then finally, we move to the thief on the cross in Luke chapter 23 and verse 42. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Luke captured the drama of the crucifixion of our Lord. On either side of him hung a thief. Those thieves were there paying for the penalty of their crimes. One of them could only respond with reviling and mockery. But the other assured himself a place in heaven, a place with Jesus. When he prayed those words, Lord, remember me. Remember that time you were saved? Lord, remember me and save me. What a joy that was to be brought into the kingdom of God. And I don't know about that thief on the cross, specifically the pain that he was feeling, because I've not experienced that, but I can't help but think that he was blessed with the words that came from the mouth of Jesus next. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Maybe his suffering was made a little bit easier as he thought upon those words and he heard the words of mercy and forgiveness from the Savior who hung on the cross next to him. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. The creative, cleansing, and compassionate response to the simple plea of, Lord, remember me. It'll be the same way for us. The Lord will show his cleansing. The Lord will show his compassion. The Lord will show his creative ability when we utter those three words, Lord, remember me. That thief on the cross, all he had to do, he was grieving over his sins and of the fact that those sins placed him upon the cross, but he believed in the person who hung on that center cross. He believed in him. He believed that he could give him life. He believed that that one on the cross was innocent. He believed that he was the Son of God, as the centurion said, truly this man was the Son of God. And he received that offer of pardon that was given to him. And you know, that's the way any of us get into the kingdom. We grieve. We repent of our sins. And we believe that Jesus died for those sins. And then we receive him into our life as our personal Lord and Savior. and those words, "Lord, remember me." Give a breath of fresh air into our souls as the Lord saves us and forgives us. But the person I want to look at today is Samson. I want to look at him in more detail. Chapter 16 and verse 28, again, the key verse. Samson called unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee. Only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." Very few men have ever had the potential of Samson. I want to stress to you today that Samson's strength did not come from an unusual physique. His strength came because he made a covenant with God. He had power because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. That principle has never, ever changed. You conquer life to the extent that you have contact with God. Your power comes because of commitments that you make. That's why I'm always asking you for commitments. It's not just because I want to see how many people can respond to the message. I'm asking you to make commitments and to signify those commitments with a show of hands, because the commitments that you make will give power in your life. And we want to seal your commitments, usually with a raised hand or a trip to the altar or a prayer of some sort, so that you seal and you remember those commitments that you make before a holy God. Samson accomplished some incredible things. He killed a lion, 30 Philistines, and another time he killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. No bands or ropes could hold him. They snapped under his strength. He ripped the gates off the walls of Gaza and carried them into the mountains. Samson was Superman to the Israelites. He could do nothing wrong. They believed that he was perfect. But Samson had a glaring weakness. His weakness was that he was a slave to passion. Unbridled lust made mincemeat out of him. And he met up with Delilah, who was on a mission herself. She wanted the destruction of Samson. And I want you to know that that is what Satan has in mind for every single one of you here today. He has in mind your destruction. And he's on a mission to see that you are destroyed. And Delilah was Satan's missionary there. And she would cry and she would ceaselessly interrogate Samson until finally it got to him. She would say, your secret, Samson, your power. Where do you get your power? What is it, Samson? Tell me. Don't withhold anything from me. You say that you love me. Tell me wherein your great strength lieth. And the great man caved in. And before he knew what hit him, Samson was pinned to the ground. And the last thing his eyes ever saw was a blazing coal on the end of a sword being driven into one eye and then the other. He realized the first return on Satan for him. He was blind. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that incredible discovery of all of a sudden not being able to see? I'm blind. Oh God, I'm blind. I cannot see. Everything is darkness. I'm blind. I cannot see. I want you to know, first of all, that Satan's return on your life, the very first thing that he does when he accomplishes sin in you is that sin blinds. Sin blinds you. And Satan he's ingenious at taking men's eyesight from them. Satan does not let you see the damage your sin is causing. He never lets us see the full scope of that damage. He makes us look through tunnel vision, or he blinds us to the damage that our sin is costing. We don't see the damage that the sin does to our own soul. We don't see the damage that the sin is doing to our family. We don't see the damage that the sin is doing to our friends and our loved ones and our church. We don't see the damage that our sin is doing to the world. We just don't see it. We're blinded to it. Sin blinds. And possibly sin is blinding you, some of you right now, here today. You're involved in some kind of sin, some kind of secret sin. You don't see any damage being done by that sin. I want you to know that there is damage being done by that sin. It's just that Satan has blinded you from that damage and you don't see it. Sin blinds. But it doesn't stop there because sin binds. Sin binds. The Philistine soldiers took Samson's arms and bound them with fetters of brass so tightly that he would never see freedom again. Yes, sin blinds and sin binds. There are no chains on earth that bind so tightly as the chains of sin. The throngs of evil habits can only be broken by Christ. It's an incredible verse in the New Testament that tells us that before we become Christians, Satan takes us captive at his will. Whenever he wants to, he takes us captive. Whenever he wants to, he binds us. But thank the Lord that Jesus Christ came to change all of that. And whom the Son sets free is free, what? Indeed. He's free indeed. There is liberty in Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. Aren't you glad for that freedom today? Aren't you glad you don't have to be bound by sin? You don't have to be bound by Satan. You don't have to be taken captive by him at his will. But now Samson is chained to a grist mill in the dungeons under the temple of Dagon, the fish god. He now grinds meal for his enemies. And that's the third thing on Satan's agenda. As far as your destruction goes, first of all, he blinds you. Secondly, he binds you. And thirdly, sin grinds you. And then one day it is feast day in Gaza. Samson is brought out to be made a spectacle of. Samson is a legend. But he is reduced from a legend to a, I don't know if this is a real word or not, lout. I couldn't find it in my thesaurus, but I thought it was a word. He goes from a legend to whatever, I don't know. He's a hero, and then he's somebody to be made fun of, somebody to be mocked. But in their stupor, nobody notices that Samson's hair has begun to grow. He is allowed a short rest out of the sight of the crowd. In that place, he meets God again. He's left between two huge pillars upon which the pagan temple stands. Certainly a strange prayer room. But in that strange prayer room, fervent prayer starts welling up within Samson. In Judges chapter 16, again, verse 28, Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. Can God possibly still care about this ravaged man? Will God hear the prayers of one who has so carelessly pitched away his life? Can God hear a holy prayer from such an unholy pit? Samson's going to find out. And Samson reaches for the pillars, and he begins to pray, Oh, Lord God, remember me. One hand is placed around one of the pillars, and a shoulder and an arm wrap around the other pillar. And Samson continues his prayer, Strengthen me. Strengthen me, I pray thee. Divine strength begins to well up within the man. There is a faint creaking and groaning as a crack forms at the base of one of the pillars. One pillar snaps, crashing into the other. The roof begins to sway. The Philistines are screaming. There is a sickening crunch of wood and stone as the huge temple collapses. Clouds of dust fill the air along with the crying of the dying. Samson again is a hero because Samson prayed, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. Lord, don't forget me. Lord, remember me. Here I am in this pagan place. Here I am with those that are mocking me. I'm in the temple of a false god, but Lord, remember me where I am and strengthen me, I pray thee, one more time. And God does. And God hears his prayer. And Samson winds up killing more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. His prayer had been a simple one. We think that we have to pray such fancy words sometimes, don't we? I have to say the right thing so that the Lord will hear me. His prayer was a simple one, just three words to begin with. Lord, remember me. O Lord God, remember me. In a few short years, Hannah would pray this prayer. Can you picture Hannah? You really have to picture these scenes to get the full impact of the message today. Can you picture Hannah at an altar in the temple, wanting a child so bad, and yet she is so frustrated because she is not able to have one? She is literally crying out to the Lord. She is literally crying to God, God, if you give me a boy, if you give me a son, I will give that son back to you, and that son will serve you all the days of his life. Can you see the anguish of spirit so strong that the priest actually thought that she was drunken? Can you see the anguish of spirit? Can you see Jeremiah praying from the dungeon? Oh, Lord, remember me. Don't forget me. Here I am. I'm in this prison. I'm here because I have been your spokesman. I've only said the things that you told me to do. Oh, Lord, remember me. Can you see a king, David? Can you see King David with his crown upon his head, having all authority and power of his kingdom? And yet he looks to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he said, remember me. Remember me. Can you see the thief on the cross, ready to go into eternity? But before he breathes his last breath, before it's too late, he turns to the one on the middle cross and he says, oh Lord, remember me. I want you to know that I've searched the scriptures, and every time, every single time somebody prayed those words, Lord, remember me, God answered it. Every single time those words were prayed, God answered. I want to encourage you here today. You've come up against something that you think is impossible. You've come up against a situation that is too strong for you. There is nothing, humanly speaking, that you can do to get this accomplished. Could you just pray those words, oh, Lord, remember me? How many of you think you could do that? Oh, Lord, remember me. Oh, Lord, remember me. You can do it. You can pray those words this morning. And I believe that just like God answered those prayers for the people in the Bible, he will answer that prayer for you. Things can be changed for you when you pray from the very depth of your soul. This is the key, though. You have to pray from the depths of your soul, and you have to pray sincerely, oh, Lord God, remember me. All of these people, when they prayed, Lord, remember me, they were crying out to the Lord. And God answers the cries of his people. And God distinguishes a cry from a prayer. In Psalm 55 and verse 17, it says, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and the Lord shall hear my voice. A prayer is one thing, but a cry is something that is done in desperation. And I would encourage you, if you've come up against something that is extremely difficult, that first of all, you would do like Nehemiah did. You would make sure that you are in a right relation for God to hear your cries. Because if I regard iniquity in my heart, the psalmist said, the Lord will not hear me. If there's iniquity there, the Lord won't hear me. But if I take care of that iniquity, and I fall upon my face before God in anguish of spirit, I cry out to him and I say, Lord, remember me. I believe God will remember me. And God will answer that cry. And so I want to challenge you today. I got another message that's coming on this. Debbie and I have been thinking about things in our lives where we have cried out to the Lord and saw things happen. And if it worked for them in the Bible, if it worked for us, it'll work for you. Learn to cry out to the Lord. Evening, morning, noon will I pray and cry aloud, and the Lord will hear my voice. And then after you cry, I would encourage you to do one other thing, and that is just start praising God. Amen. Just start praising him, thanking him in advance for the deliverance. Do you know how many things were accomplished in the Bible through praise? Paul and Silas, in that Philippian jail, they prayed. But the scripture says at midnight they began to sing praises. And when they sang praises, then God sent the earthquake. It's a strange earthquake that remembers to undo leg shackles, open prison doors. Their praise was so powerful that it literally brought the house down. God will do the same thing for you. First of all, you cry out to him. And then secondly, you just begin to praise God for the deliverance, for the answer, for his power that's waiting upon him. He'll renew your strength. He'll accomplish the impossible in your lives. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? How many of you have something in your life that you could pray those words, "Lord, remember me," for? There's a situation that you could use that prayer, "Lord, remember me." Could I just see your hands up and down? Many, most of us, if not all of us. I want you to right now cry out in the depths of your soul. If you want out loud, that's fine. If you want to go home and simply shed some tears, I would encourage you to do that. But even here, while you're here right now, you could say, "Lord, remember me. Remember me in this situation. Oh, Lord, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me." And if there is anybody here that you're in a real desperate situation and you would like some other people to cry out with you, I'm going to ask you to come and kneel at the altar this morning. Just get up from where you're at and come and kneel at the altar. We have communion service and we'll get to it. What's more important is that you come. More important that you come right now and meet the Lord at your point of need. Lord, we thank you today that you do not have deaf ears. We thank you, Lord, that you hearken unto our cry. Thank you, Lord, that you hear the prayers of your people. And Lord, you see the anguish of spirit and soul. Lord, and you see the intercession that is going on. And right now, Lord, I intercede on behalf of those that have come forward and knelt in your presence today. And Lord, I cry out that you would remember them. Lord, that you would remember them in their affliction. Lord, that you would remember them in their trial. Lord, that you would remember them in their tribulation. Lord, that you would remember them in their weakness. And I pray today that you would do what no other power can do. I pray, Lord, that you would do the miraculous. I pray that you would answer these cries today. Lord, remember us. Remember me. In Jesus' name. There is one other example of somebody praying and asking for remembrance. Not really praying, but asking for remembrance. And that was Jesus on the night of his crucifixion, or on the night of his betrayal, the night of the Passover. He handed out the communion bread, he handed out the communion juice, and he said, "This do in remembrance of me." And so we want to do this today in remembrance of him. We want to remember him. So many times we're asking him, "Lord, remember us, remember me." And that's great, and we've done that this morning. But now let's turn our attention to him. Let's remember him. Let's remember his sacrifice upon the cross. Let's remember his willingness to die a death of crucifixion for you and for me. Hallelujah.
It is the cry of my heart to follow you. It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life. Cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life. Teach me your holy ways, O Lord, so I can walk in your truth. Teach me your holy ways, O Lord, and make me wholly devoted to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow you. It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life. Open my eyes so I can see the wonderful things that you do. Open my heart up more and more and make me devoted to you. my heart to follow you. It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life. The days of my life.
White as snow.
Scripture says, "For I have received also of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." This do in remembrance of me. Praise the Lord. Bob James, would you ask the blessing upon the bread?
Father God, we just thank you for remembering us on this day. Father, we just thank you that you wanted fellowship with us, and you sent to us a little baby. And he grew up in this land, dwelt among men, and Father, he bore our stripes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus,
Hallelujah.
For remembering us.
Yes.
Let's partake of the bread together. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." In remembrance of me. Bill, would you ask the blessing upon the cup today, please?
Father, what an awesome privilege it is to come before you this morning. To give thanks for the gracious blood of sacrifice, that we may have fellowship with you, Lord, and you may be our God. May our hearts be uplifted and encouraged by your wonderful love and the shedding of your gracious blood for all of mankind. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much. You gave yourself for us. Hallelujah.
Let's drink of the cup together. Let's stand. We'll sing that chorus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
But the blood of Jesus, what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of
Pastor Craig, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Lord, we're so thankful just to be able to spend time in your presence.
Hallelujah.
To congregate together.
Yes.
Lord, to remember you. Lord, we thank you in that remembering us. We cry out to you, Jesus, that you remember us this day as we remember you. Just be with us. Keep us all safe in this weather. May we all come back tonight. Just spend some more time together in your presence. In Jesus' name.